This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. China's economy is growing slower than many people expected and hoped. Part of this is the property sector, but another part is the debt burdening China's local governments. For many years, local governments have financed a tremendous amount of development. That era appears to be coming to a close. Logan Wright is a partner at Rhodium Group and is here to talk about it. Good morning.
Morning, Sabri.
So here in the U.S., when we think about the government stimulating or supporting the economy, we think about the federal COVID relief or federal stimulus. It comes from the national government. In China, it is not quite like that. Can you explain how it works?
Right. So when China tries to use fiscal policy countercyclically to stimulate growth, they typically do it not through direct budget allocations in which the central government puts money in people's pockets, but through investment that is funded largely by local governments. You know, in some cases, you'll get direct subsidies for certain industries, but by and large, the focus of policy stimulus in China has been to deliver growth, employment, investment through either infrastructure construction of large transport, water treatment, railways, all sorts of different infrastructure concepts that have been deployed over the years, or indirectly encouraging other forms of construction like the property sector.
So we have all this investment in infrastructure, in property through local governments, and those local governments are in debt. How badly are they in debt?
It has become too difficult, given the volume of local government debt, for them to continue funding investment at the same rates as they've had in the past. So it is a reasonable estimate that total local government debt is roughly around China's GDP. You know, roughly around 100% of GDP, or, you know, around $16, $17 trillion in total.
If Beijing is now possibly on the hook for all this local government debt, how does that connect with the economic malaise that the country finds itself in right now?
Right. In many ways, the property market crisis in China and the local government crisis are the same crisis, and they're very much linked. They are a problem of you cannot continue funding the same pace of investment, whether that is in property or infrastructure, because you do not have a financial system that can continue expanding at the same rates as it has in the past, which means that if investment has been a critical driver of China's growth, it's about 42% of the economy at this point, that's going to slow down. And therefore, overall economic growth is going to slow down. And that slowdown is not cyclical, but structural. You cannot repeat the same drivers of growth as you have seen in the recent past. And so in many ways, this is the structural slowdown that China's facing. We are seeing, you know, a much sharper break with past rates of economic performance relative to, you know, what you saw over the previous decade. And the fact that you can't rely upon property and infrastructure investment is one of the key reasons for that.
Basically, they can't get out of this economic doldrum by writing more checks. Something structural is going to have to change.
To say that you're going to manage China's local government debt problem is implicitly a statement that China is going to rebalance the economy and is going to be less dependent upon investment-led growth in the future. Rebalancing the economy is a very, you know, difficult prospect. It probably involves slower growth in investment in the short term, you know, hoping for more sustainable growth that is consumption-led in the medium term. But there's no guarantee that that, you know, happens at the same rates as what we've seen in the past, which is why this is such a, you know, momentous decision. And the fact that Beijing is really at the end of a previous road in terms of how to support the economy is so meaningful.
Logan Wright is a partner at Rhodium Group. Logan, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sabri.